I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
All right. I've been dying to talk about this. I'm so furious, my blood is boiling. There's a song. I'm driving in the car the other day, and the you know how you sometimes throw on Top 40 in the background? And, you know, I got a million things going on. It's like I got a call going on and the car thing, and I'm like, all this stuff on my mind. And all of a sudden, my brain actually starts to pick up on the lyrics of this song.
Yeah.
And I start listening. I'm like, this can't be, right? This can't be. Can I please read you this? By the way, moms, which is amazing because this children is readily available for your kids to hear. But big suggestion, maybe don't let them listen to this right now. Here's a song by Usher, who's not like a young, up-and-coming, like stupid 18-year-old. He's an established artist.
With kids.
Who, by the way, boys, though, not girls.
Yeah.
Because I damn near tweeted him and was like, do you have a daughter? Shame on you, you pig. But like, I am so furious. I can't even tell you. I'm disgusted with him. And I expect so much more. When you're in a position to have that kind of influence, dude, have some freaking credibility and awareness.
Yeah.
This guy sings for the Clintons. Like, I've been to fundraisers for President Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, and he's on stage hugging Bill, the whole thing. So, Bill, well, look at me. Hugging President Clinton.
We know who you're
mad
for.
No one's mad at that.
Anyway, so, here we go. Ready? Shorty, I don't mind if you dance on a pole. This doesn't make you a hoe. I don't mind when you work till three if you're leaving with me. Go make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. Because I know how it is. Go handle your biz and get your money, money, money. You can take off your clothes. Long as you're coming home, girl, I don't mind. The ballers are in here tonight and they're going to buy 100 bottles as soon as you shake it. I know they're going to make it colossal in here, because shorty, you thinking them tricks you do with your body, got all these niggas, please excuse me, I would never say that, but it's in the song, crowding around you like they seen Beyonce in here. You want your own and you need your own, and who am I to judge? Because how could I ever trip when I met you in the club? I make enough money for the both of us, but you dance anyway. You know, I was raised in the A. I don't mind if you dance on a pole. Doesn't make you a hoe. Then we got that whole thing again. Then it goes into, when you get off work, I'll be ready to go in the Rari. And when we get home, we'll have our own party. Because I don't worry about the things they do or say. I love you anyway. You can twerk in the splits. while you rack up your tips.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm not even close to done. Hold on. Your body rocks and your booty pops. I'm proud to call you my bitch.
Whoa.
Oh, girl, I'm still not done. So just go ahead and keep doing what you do. I don't mind that you dance on a pole. Then he's got the whole, that doesn't make you a hoe, blah, blah, blah. Then I'm just trying to cut her up and bust a nut. Trying to take somebody bitch and turn her into a slut. I'm trying to fill my cup, trying to live it up. Throw some hundreds on that ass and walk out the club. Mm. Yeah, ho. A lap dance for the first date, but through a few bands, that's third base. It's okay if you work late. We can still party like it's your birthday. We can party hard in your birthday suit. Knock that pussy out of the park.
Okay, stop.
No, I can't stop, actually. Out of the park like I'm Babe Ruth. Shorty just wants a tip. And I just want to see her strip. If you fuck me like you love me, Shorty, you might get rich. Have her own cake, get her own place, blow her own gas, no roll. When we in bed, she like to role play. Tell her friends to join and go both ways. I want to find him and just punch him repeatedly in the face.
I do too.
I'll hold him down.
I'm so pissed, and people, and so I put on Twitter, I'm like, how is it possible that this is, we are not up in a, why are we not picketing outside this guy's house? And women were like, well, this is nothing. And the thing is, I stopped and I thought, okay, I listened to other music where, you know, she moves her body like a cyclone, or like, you know, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And it's like, yes, we're constantly objectifying women, and it's slightly annoying. But at the bottom line, I'm like, well, a lot of women like to be objectified. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Fine with that. Women are sex objects. You know what? You guys do your own thing. That's not my thing. I'd like to be seen for my sense of humor. Yes, I'd like to be attractive, but in a classy way. I don't want to, you know, it's like there's that aspect of music, which is annoying. But I'm like, this is, you know, whatever. Then there's Eminem, and he sings about, like, violence, that song with Rihanna. But I don't think Eminem is going, oh, it's awesome to beat the crap out of women. I think he's saying, like, this comes from being mentally disturbed. This is not a positive thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, obviously, this is unhealthy. And he's kind of exercising his own demons. I don't think he's saying, go punch a bitch in the face, hoes. I don't think it's the same thing at all. And you know, you've got Kanye. She's got an ass that'll swallow up a G-string on the top, two bee stings. Like, again, it's one thing to be like, oh, women, sex object, sex object, sex object. Which, again, I think there are varying degrees of offense in that. This is a whole nother ballgame. This, to me, is, this is how girls make money. This is the only way she makes money. If she, you know, fucks me like she loves me, she might get rich. I'm outraged.
I know. It's
outraged.
I can't even process it.
How is this song? Why are we not
treating women like a piece of meat? I know. And I was looking online to see if there was any controversy.
No,
and there's
none.
Nothing.
There's
zero.
It's like totally common.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're just degrading women and treating them like they're meat.
But part of it also is beyond that. It's like, what is it saying to girls? If you want to get rich.
Or boys.
Well, that's right. And somebody was like, well, who cares? And I was like, because young kids, he's an influencer. He's cool. He's rich. So young kids are like, oh, girls are thinking, oh, this is how I get rich. This is how I get the ballers. Mm. And then young boys are like, oh, women are bitches and hoes. And this is how they make their money. And I own them with money. And it's just disgusting.
It's making stripping very cool
for
young women.
It's even beyond stripping. Girl, he's, if you fuck me like you love
I know.
You might get rich.
Prostitution. This is wrong in so many ways.
Oh, my God.
And I think we should contact his people.
Please. We as women are just like, eh, whatever.
No, it's almost like you're so desensitized.
You are.
And also, too, if this song, which to me is like R-rated, if it was a movie, your kids couldn't be exposed to it. But they put it on constant airplay, and it has a catchy tune. It's constant
it's in the
airplay.
Dance clubs.
So the kids know it, and the kids actually, they're very aware of, like, the main chorus of it. And it's unbelievable because it's so not even consciously getting into their little brains. Mm. You're floored by it when you really dissect it. If you were to have to explain that to a child, it would be brutal.
Yeah. And then I saw this article in the Huffington Post about if boys were raised like girls. And a couple of things really stood out to you, Andy. And it was this birthday one. Happy first birthday to Logan.
Yeah.
And so they're like, they kind of go through the whole thing, like, what would it feel like to raise a boy the way girls are raised? So, happy first birthday to Logan. You keep the party small and inexpensive, mostly family and a couple of friends. Grandma brings a cake from the supermarket. It's covered in blue icing and has a crown on top that says, for the birthday prince. And then, oh, wait, I missed the good one, the baby shower t-shirt, where it says that he gets a t-shirt that says, thank goodness I'm cute. It doesn't matter if I can read this because my sister will read it for me. And it goes on to talk about how when he gets into sports, he doesn't want to sweat and be uncomfortable because of the way the girls will judge him when he doesn't look good. So instead, he stands on the sidelines and he roots for the girls.
With the other boys who decide the same thing. Almost like it's a collective mindset that they all start to drop out at the same time for the same justified reason. Tate had this documentary the other night that we watched called Sexy Baby. And it actually, like, it shows narratives of how children are being overly exposed. And there was this one particular woman who is a lawyer, and she actually does a commentary on a major network, and her kids, she was they captured one scene where this little girl was grinding, and I think this kid was around 6 or 7 years old.
Stop.
And she was grinding on the ground, and it was so uncomfortably provocative to see this little girl doing this behavior. And Tate turned to me and he was like, oh my God, we're having a girl. Like,
that's
so exposed so quickly. And the show just got worse and worse and worse with all these exposures of these kids and their and the stuff that they say these girls were saying, like overly sexualized vernacular without even understanding what it meant, without even having sex education. The one girl had said to her dad in jest, like, well, I'll just give him a blowjob. And we couldn't believe it. And he said to his daughter, do you know what that means? And she goes, no, but I'm just joking.
Oh, God.
And it was unbelievable to kind of...
This woman...
And they just reiterated this song. I mean, they would know the terms without knowing the consequences and the behavior.
Even the clothes. I read this thing on this website that you actually turned me on to called Scary Mommy.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of fun. It's a Facebook thing, Andy.
Yeah.
And this one mom had written an article about how furious she was about the clothes that are available to, like... extremely inappropriate, like for little girls, short shorts, short skirts, like extremely revealing. Like, it's just, she's like, why are we doing this to our babies? Why are we sexualizing them? Two words that don't belong in a sentence at the same time. Sexy child, don't belong. And I just think it starts so young, and we have to do something. We've got to pay attention to this, and we don't. And then here's another thing I love from that other article about men being treated like women. She talked about how when this kid gets out of college and he starts going for job interviews and he's walking down the street in the city and someone goes, smile, baby, a woman calls out to him. You look more handsome when you smile. And it's just, it's always about, you look more pretty. Oh, this will make you more pretty. This will make you more presentable. And how all the influences to young girls are like, we marry a prince. A prince and live in his castle. Prince Charming.
Who has money, who takes care,
right.
Who, you know, objectifies her, and she is willing to do that. You know, it reminds me of the satire of when they have women doing catcalls to men out on the street, like construction workers.
And the things that they say,
and it's a total inversion of roles, and it seems so weird and so inappropriate and so gross. And you're like, but we don't, when it's the other way around, we're so conditioned, we're not even offended by it. It almost is like an accepted behavior. Ridiculous.
That's so true. And I one last thing I wanted to point out, if for those people that did watch the Academy Awards, you know, everybody gets up on a soapbox during that, right?
Right.
And they all have their various causes, and they're all legitimate causes, and good for you. You got a moment in front of a bunch of people, say your thing, God bless. Patricia Arquette gets up and she takes this Oscar speech and she makes it about equal pay for women. And I got uncomfortable. And I was like, oh my God, how's this going to go? Oh my God, how is this going to go? And Meryl Streep, did you see that?
No.
Meryl Streep stands up and starts emphatically clapping.
Good.
And I was like, oh my God, for Meryl Streep to identify with this, who's the best in the business. And I, you know that when one of the biggest issues I ever had on Losers, they paid Bob twice as much as me.
Right.
Twice as much as me.
Well, look what those Sony...
I was furious.
Look what the Sony leaks revealed in regards to how they were going to start doing the pay breakdown.
Right.
Yep.
And
that's right.
It changed very quickly because a lot of the actresses that knew that they were getting paid less for the same roles, it exposed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was fascinated by that.
Yeah. And when you talk about, like, you know, we're getting Usher, Miley Cyrus... These are all, you know, very popular public figures that are bad role models for our kids. And but for every one of those, there's someone that's a strong leader. Like, you know, Jillian, as you would say, the Maria Shrivers, the Meryl Streeps. Like,
true.
There are those people. True. And so you, I think you have to teach your children the good and the bad.
I think that is the key. I think, because I remember people would be disappointed with what kind of role model I was before I was a parent. And I remember thinking, I'm not a role model. I'm just me. But, you know, at the end of the day, the primary role model is going to be you. And I think what I'm asking everybody listening right now to do is pay attention and stop tolerating this. Do not listen to this song, turn it off on the radio.
I agree.
Maybe make a tweet Usher and say, dude, shame on you. Do better. Mm-hmm. We expect more. Maybe to start pointing out scenarios where you haven't been paid equally, or make sure that your daughter isn't constantly being exposed to being overly sexualized. Like, I think we need to make a stand. We need to make a stand and stop being so oblivious and stop letting it fly by the side, you know, just whatever. I'm asking each and every person out there to pay closer attention and to stand up and protect yourself and protect our girls and our boys. This is not good for our boys either.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's it.
Well said.
Thank you. All right. I know that each and every one of us has sustained an injury before. We just have. We've all rolled the ankle. We've all pulled the muscle. We've all torn the rotator cuff or the meniscus. Unfortunately, it is a fact of life. And cold therapy is critical when it comes to healing, pain management, swelling, etc. But if you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, try Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. You've never experienced anything like this. It's so cool. It's cold therapy that you can use and still stay active because they're sleek wraps that fit, don't fall down. They're not bulky like bags of ice. You don't need a freezer. They're totally reusable. You can run, bike, lift, and keep your joints or your muscles wrapped and cool. You can put Arctic Ease on and target instant cold compression therapy where you need it before, during, and after exercise. It's long-lasting, reusable. You can find them on arcticease.com or at your local retailer. Check them out today. They are the bomb. All right, we're back. And in lieu of a caller, we're going to deal with some issues right here at home. And I've managed to get my mom for 10 minutes to help us out because this one's beyond me, actually, Mom. So here's the deal.
Okay.
Michelle's engaged. She's getting married. Andy's engaged. She's getting married, which I guess engaged implies getting married. So I'm glad I clarified that for you, though, in case there was any confusion. And the reason I sound like I'm triple time on speed is because, again, we only have my mom for 10 minutes and I want to get to the heart of the matter so they can talk. So they're going through hell. Andy's turned into Bridezilla. Michelle's miserable. They want to be runaway bride. And guys, tell her what's going on and let's see if she can help you deal with the situation. Who wants to go first?
I will. Hi, it's Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hi. So my problem basically is I'm feeling torn between Tate's family and my family and prioritizing who stays where, who's in a hotel, who's in our house, who's sitting where, kind of the order of everything that's going on, even who's going to be at the table with us in the front. Do we segregate people? How do we actually do our seating plan? Which family members should get off the list? Because if we get too many people, is it the extended cousins? So we're all starting to have like this contest almost about who and should go where and where the priorities are. And I now, this, you know, beautiful on bended knee last summer is now becoming a duel.
Okay. You know what? This is unfortunately not uncommon. And while I do only have a few minutes, so I'm not going to be able to get into the details of this. The bottom line is, Andy, I hope you and Kate arguing about this, or is it you and Kate who feel in conflict with other family members?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Him and I are very diplomatic, so you'd never call it a fight or a disagreement. But I find that I'm making myself be very well known that I would prioritize my sisters over his brothers if we had to choose. And he, you know, and he likely feels the same way. And then it's also me talking to my family saying, I love that you're wanting to come for the wedding. 3 weeks is way too much.
Oh,
and I literally
God.
Have family members wanting to come for 3 weeks.
Oh,
and we'll have a new baby, too, remember?
Oh,
and so,
God,
and his
no.
family's wanting
oh,
to come
God,
for two
no.
weeks.
Okay, honey, listen, because you don't have a lot of time. Here's the bottom line. this is not going to be easy. So if you think this is going to have a simple, smooth, easy, fluid answer, it doesn't. Yeah. The bottom line is, all that really matters is that you and Andy work out whatever conflict you have between the two. You and Tate work out whatever conflict you have between the two of you.
Right.
Your family is going. You're going to have family members who are going to be upset with you.
Okay.
What you and that, and it's probably stirring up a lot of guilt in you.
Sure.
A lot of feeling like, how can I do this? Like,
yep.
It gets crazy here. You have to decide what you want. Yeah. What's important to you, and then you have to set the boundaries with the family, and you have to accept the fallout. But you don't have to feel guilty about the fallout.
And she's, I think you said also, and this is so important, you and Tate, you, I think when you and Tate are on the same page, that's what matters the most. But how do they do that, Mom? Because they're not, they're both not, you know, the interesting thing about your dynamic with Tate is I'm aggressive, Heidi's more passive aggressive, and so ultimately it gets dragged out into the open. But you and Tate are both more like that Heidi kind of personality where it's like subtle, subtle, subtle.
Very.
So how do they get to this, Mom, and resolve it?
If you can't do it on your own, go for some counseling. And I'm talking counseling, not therapy.
Okay.
Go for just somebody for a session or two, because you need to talk openly. You need to both, somebody needs to facilitate the open communication between the two of you, since you're both afraid of conflict.
Right.
So that's a short answer, because it's not fair that one person should sort of win out over the other. If something's important to both of you, you're going to have to compromise.
Right.
So that he gets some of what he wants and you get some of what you want. And again, you're not going to please everybody.
Yes,
the most
sweetie.
You can do,
and that's
is
the hard
offer,
thing for you.
Is, yes, is offer them a heartfelt, truthful, honest explanation.
Okay.
If somebody destroys your relationship with them because of this, it's not a very tight relationship to begin with.
You're right.
You know what, Mom? That's right. Andy, you know, it's so funny. In my life, when I've been trying to avoid conflict and I've come up with all these stories to lie instead of saying, I'm tired and I just don't want to go. It's not that I this, that, or the other. And you're like, oh, maybe we say that I'm shitting blood. And it's like,
right.
You know, and then when I finally was like, dude, I'm telling you, I'm so sorry. I've worked all week. And like when I emailed you the other day, I was like, girl, I can't get to your house.
Yeah.
It'd be an hour for me to get to your house. I can't get to your house. Here's a photo. Like I was trying to get to Andy's party, and there was like, it was gonna take an hour, and I was like, I can't do it, Andy.
Yeah,
I can't do it. I was like, I love you, but I got the kids in the car, and I don't have it in me. And you still love me. And and Heidi was like, oh my god, she's gonna think, oh my god. And I was like, no, honey,
no,
we're gonna
none
tell
whatsoever.
Her we're in hell and we can't get there right now.
But also, you see, Jillian did it with love. In other words, when you offer these honest explanations to your family, obviously you don't want to be harsh with them. You want to do it with empathy and understanding. But that still means you hold firm on your boundaries.
Yeah.
Sweetie. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll apply that tonight. I have a phone call going home, and I need to explain that just with love. Like, we want you to be there. We don't want you to be there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. That's
Why? And why? It's just so much, and I would feel responsible for you, and blah blah blah. No, you won't be responsible, but I will feel this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's everything.
Right.
It's exactly it. And I love that. I love the counseling thing that my mom's suggesting.
Me too.
Because by the way, it's one of the best ways that I've been able to communicate with Heidi, because she feels attacked when I'm aggressive, and she doesn't feel like she has a forum, and so this person puts the issue on the table and then helps us navigate a solution.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. The conversation.
Yes.
It just equips you with the right way to communicate to still be able to understand what both people want, but find the resolution.
Yes.
I'm doing it.
Okay, listen, I you know what, Jillian?
Yes,
I
Mom.
Have like maybe 2 minutes. I feel bad I didn't get to talk to Michelle.
Oh!
Mish, you're so sweet.
Is there anything you can throw out there fast?
Yeah.
Go, girl.
So my fiance comes from a divorce family, and my mother-in-law is so nervous about seeing her ex-husband that she's calling me saying, you know, oh, he's going to sabotage rehearsal dinner. He's going to sit me in the back and this and that. And she got so nervous. And we had a conversation that within a few hours, she had a stroke. And she was in the hospital.
God.
And they said it was because her high blood pressure spiked due to stress.
Oh,
and she
God.
Is just now she's like can't even do anything. So I mean, it's just stressful. And I don't know what to do.
Well, this is really kind of crazy. I mean, is this really typically, like, you know, act out in this way where she literally has a physiological meltdown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were rushed into the hospital and she had a stroke and she's like, her one side of her thing was paralyzed. And they said the only reason was stress, high blood pressure. They put her on anxiety medicine. And we asked her, I'm like, did we cause this? Because we were just having a bunch of wedding talk.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, it was very worked up over seeing your father.
All right. You know, my life's on. The thing is, this is a much more chronic issue, Michelle, rather than just about your wedding, because this is going to come up in the future.
Yeah,
and, you know, you're going to have to decide. This isn't easy. Do you want to feel like you are constantly held hostage to his mother's
shit?
Real?
Yeah. Meltdown? All right.
Yeah.
And let's not get married.
I'd like to say more about it, but I gotta go.
No, you're right. Thank you so much.
I know.
Right,
thank you. Thank you, Mama. Okay. I love you.
Bye, sweetie. Love you too.
Bye. All right. I always throw out if you have questions for my mom. Of course, she is very clearly just a PhD in this gig. So this is her office number: 310-207-0079. She can help you find a therapist, a counselor. I think she has a full practice, but occasionally she has openings for patients. I'm going to take over here. I think, look at me. This is where this crap comes from. You want to know where this comes from? You were like, my God, where did you live? This is where it comes from.
It's impressive.
From.
It's amazing.
Where it comes from, girl.
A little mini me.
But I think exactly what she said is right. And you have to make a decision of if you're going to be held hostage by this. And one of the things that I have experienced in my relationship with Heidi, and this relates to both of these scenarios, yours and Michelle's, when we are not on the same page. Yeah. No solution will ever be arrived upon. And I remember my mom was going to throw the baby shower, right? Mm-hmm. And Heidi wanted a certain kind of flower. And my mom, I don't remember why, but my mom was like, well, but this isn't the wedding. This isn't a baby shower flower. And because Heidi doesn't like conflict. And Heidi was like, I can't, and she was pregnant and it was overwhelming for her. And we had to get on the same page and I had to go to my mom because Heidi couldn't. And I had to be like, Mom, I don't know how to tell you this. It's not that we don't appreciate this, but I need you not to do the shower. And my mom was like, well, why didn't you just say so? I don't mind. And I was like, because she's not comfortable telling you she doesn't like this flower or whatever. And it's too hard for her because you're my mom to be able to tell you she doesn't like things. So, but it was like, and there were other issues. Like, I remember one of the worst fights we ever had was an issue with the kids, right? And with her mom, and I was fighting with her mom, and I've had to work so hard to figure out how to appreciate my mother-in-law. Now I worship her. Aww. But I had to learn how to take her parenting advice, not as a criticism. And one of the worst fights we ever had is that they didn't want me to give Phoenix a timeout for hitting Lou because he was little. And they're like, you're going to have to let them work it out. And I was like, don't tell me how to parent. And Heidi didn't say anything. And the fact that she didn't say anything was one of the worst fights she and I ever had, because I was like, you don't have my back. I always have your back. And the thing is, I think these issues need to first be exactly what was just said, have to first be discussed and resolved with a significant other. And then you guys have to have a game plan moving forward of how to set boundaries with family.
Yeah.
And it can be a very loving boundary, not an accusatory, attacking, you. And just what my mom said, very straightforward.
Yeah.
Very loving, but very honest. And I think Oprah said this, if a person doesn't respect your no, then, you know, you need to really rethink that.
She also said something about eloping, but maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
She never got married, right? Her instead. No, and also, you know, you don't marry. My mom kept saying, you don't marry the family. You don't pick a person because of their mother. You're not marrying his mother. You're not marrying his father.
Yeah.
Or his stepfather or his stepmother. You're marrying him, and you need to stay focused on that. And that's what I try to do.
But you do need boundaries, because this will transcend into everything from literally where you live, who you spend the holidays with. God help you when you have kids.
Yes.
You have no
I'm not
idea.
Having kids.
Uh-huh. Sure. That's what I said.
No, there's
no
way.
Oh, girl.
Finucci, I'm 43. Yeah. You see this belly?
No, yeah. I don't want... It's a personal truth. I don't want children.
Yeah, sure. I said the same thing.
I said the same
thing.
Me
too, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
The puppy was enough.
Girl, you don't know.
Trust
me.
I don't.
Uh-huh. All right. And when you're covered in puke, boogers, and crap, let me know.
I don't want that. That's exactly why.
There's more to it than that, though. You will. I know you're going to end up there. And I'm just going to say it's critical because if you think that it stops at the wedding, this is the beginning.
Oof. Okay.
This is the beginning, and this is where you go, all right, we got to learn how as a couple to communicate and to come up with a game plan together. Otherwise, it will cause massive problems in your relationship. Massive problems. And so...
Yeah, but the mother is a touchy thing. You don't want to ever insult someone's mother. That's
mama. When Heidi didn't want my mom to do the shower, because I was like, all right, I hear you. And my mom being my mom, obviously, was like, of course not. Why didn't you just... But like with Grandma Joyce, you know, it wasn't so much of a... We learned how to respect one another, because her mom is also like me. She's very take charge. Mm-hmm. She's very like, you know, this is my way. This is my, and her mom and I had to learn that dance with the kids, but we did. And then we learned how to respect one another and each other's opinions and how to work as a team, but it took us time. Mm-hmm. And not only that, it took Heidi getting on the same page with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetie, it's so important. I'm telling you. Because this is not just, okay, it's an isolated incident. It's not an isolated incident. It's going to be, well, who do we spend? I want to spend Christmas with my family. Okay, do we do? And then, by the way, all the holidays become about the family. You've had no rest. You're exhausted. So sometimes we're like, okay, we're going to go away on our own for Thanksgiving. Everybody can come to our house or not. But that's my point. You guys as a team got to communicate.
Yes.
Got to get it out in the open. Got to come up with a game plan. And then got to put, and very honestly and very lovingly, your needs out to the family.
Thank you, Dr. Love.
Thank you.
Yeah. Whew. Well, we had Dr. Mom on who did most of it, but that's fine. I'll take second fiddle. All right, who wants to burn more calories throughout the day? Guess what? It's actually pretty easy. If you stand up while you work, we spend hours sitting down, which is actually terrible for our posture and our health. But with Varidesk, you can attach it to your existing desk. The height is adjustable. You can set it at any height that you like. It takes 3 seconds, literally, to adjust it. And it helps you be more active, and it helps with your posture. It helps prevent injuries. It's awesome. The average user can burn as many as 130 additional calories per day by replacing 4 hours of sitting with 4 hours of standing. That's the equivalent calorie burning of running a 10K every week. They've got models starting as low as $275, making Varidesk, by the way, a really affordable and efficient way to retrofit your existing desk to a stand-up desk. And it ships fully assembled, so it's ready to use right out of the box. All you got to do is visit Varidesk.com for more information. That's Varidesk.com. Okay, this is going to be our last segment of the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's that time.
Well, yeah. And the call is going to be me ambushing Autumn on vacation.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I'm a bitch. But before I do, I want to talk about why that's going to be the call. And what this segment is about is about letting go of somebody. And
tough.
I don't mean, I'm not firing her. Please don't be confused. You know, I realize I watch a lot of people struggle with allowing relationships to evolve. And whether it's a spouse that's getting healthier and you feel threatened, or a kid that's just outgrowing a certain dynamic that you have with them, you know, as a parent and a child, you don't want them to grow up, you don't want things to change. And in this particular instance, this is going to suck. Autumn is definitely ready for promotion.
Mm-hmm.
She was my second assistant, I want to say 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then Giancarlo stole her. She became his first assistant for 2 years. Then he moved to Miami, and she became my assistant for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just gotten to a point where you know, he keeps piling all this stuff on her plate. I say he, Giancarlo, and it's like, oh, I want you to run the podcast. And she produces the whole thing. And, you know, she just, and I want you to, you know, be the tour manager when we go to the UK. And she's just got all, be the production coordinator for every photo shoot. And she's got all these jobs. And he's given them to her because he doesn't know who else to give them to, truthfully. And I'll run the social media and do this, do that. And we got to a point where I was like, all right, wait, she should get a title for this. She should get more money. And we got there. And then I was like, all right. And I'm uncomfortable saying, can you order me this dog, special dog collar for the dog trainer? Because she's so far beyond a quote, calendar monkey, as she says from time to time. And it's hard because I'm like, dear God, I'm going to have to look for another assistant, which doesn't seem like a big deal. Let me explain to you how terrifying this is. Like, we went to see 50 Shades of, believe me, there is a connection here. We went to see 50 Shades of Grey, shame on us.
Oh, jeez.
And for whatever it's worth, there was one moment where the Christian Grey guy looks at Anastasia's character and says, I'm not going to touch you until we have a signed contract. And I was like, exactly! That's exactly right! And I sometimes want to be like, I won't speak to you until we have a signed contract. And it's just to allow someone into my life is really dangerous. I have one a-hole assistant who got fired for doing something super shady, who started leaking information about my family and my son and all this drama, like, online. And then there was another one who stole a bunch of stuff from my closet. Ugh. I mean, then there was another one who sued me because she got fired for breaching a confidentiality agreement. Same thing. Then I came to find out, this is also amazing, I came to find out because people who know this person have called my office that she was running around saying I'm a cocaine addict, which I find hilarious, that I apparently do cocaine before book signings. Which, by the way, if I was doing that, why would I share it with an assist? Let's do some rails together before my book signing. Let's bond, because that's something I'm gonna do. I know. But I mean, like, that's how dangerous it is for me. So just to give you an idea, it's really dangerous to allow an unknown entity into my life. And the problem is that it's a very difficult job. So if this person doesn't know how to do the job and you have to let them go, I don't like the word fire, but you have to say it's not working, well, then they're like, what can I get out of it?
Yeah.
I'm going to sue you for something, or I'm going to try to sell your private information, or I'm going to steal your things on my way out the door, or I'm going to, and that's the, so to let go of Autumn in this capacity is, let me just put it that it's terrifying for me.
Understandable.
And I think it's as hard for a mom to be like, oh my God, my son doesn't want me to hug him when I walk him into school anymore. Or, oh my God, I need to come to terms with my child's going to college and they don't want to live at home anymore. And I think that the irony of this is that if you don't allow people to let go of them, if you don't allow them to evolve, you're going to ultimately lose them. Because if I don't promote Autumn, someone's going to be like, one of our partners is going to go, God, she's awesome. Then they're going to offer her a job, not as a quote calendar monkey, and I'm going to lose her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lose her in my company.
Right.
And I don't want to do that. So I this whole segment really is about this realization I've had that you can't hold on to people in the way you need to hold on to them. And you can't sort of try to control their trajectory because it's intimidating to you in one way or another. Whether it's a spouse that wants to get healthy and you're threatened because you think they're going to leave you, well, guess what? They're going to leave you if you don't support their journey.
Right.
That makes you a really good person, though, because there are...
No, it does,
because there are a lot of employees that put you in a box and they don't give a shit, you know, and you're caring about someone else's well-being over your own needs, and that really, I think that's really...
I don't know if that's true.
That is true.
Well, you don't want to lose her, ultimately, you're being forced, and so even if there was a little bit of selfishness to it...
But I know you care about her.
You care about her, but also, you know, you don't want to lose her in general, and that could happen, too.
That could happen, too. Let's get her on the phone. She's on holiday, by the way. She just landed, so watch how intrusive.
Talk about quitting, man.
Hello?
How's your vacation?
Well, I'm glad that I'm just a segment on... I'm a segment on the podcast. Are you guys calling me from the podcast?
We would never do such a
no,
thing.
No,
we don't want to check in and see how you're doing.
No. Yeah.
How's Hawaii?
Yeah, how's Hawaii?
I don't know yet.
I hear you escaped with my other ex-assistant.
I know. We're colluding.
See?
She got me laid. She got me laid right when I got off the plane.
Ooh. Oh, that's lovely. The flowers.
Mm-hmm. I know. So I have my bags. It's 85 degrees and sunny and minimal VOG.
Minimal who? What?
Minimal VOG. V-O-G. What's like the, Hawaiian smog.
Oh, VOG. That's
Bog.
You're really all into this Hawaii
wow. thing. Wow. Yeah. So she's already got the lingo down.
I'm going to be a local any minute now.
Autumn, don't even threaten
only
that.
Only until Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Are you guys surviving without me?
Well, no. we were just doing a segment about having to learn how to let you go a little bit and let you spread your wings a bit.
Oh, that's nice.
You're supposed to say it's hard for you to. It's a. You're supposed to say it's very hard for you to make this transition.
Oh, well, it's going to be very hard for me when that time comes. But I don't really feel like that's happened yet because you and I are still very much together.
Well, I'm aware that we're still together, but you are building a bridge to a little more autonomy. I mean, I think
I know.
I would hope that you are devastated.
As excited as I am about what that could mean, you know, for new things, and then it's a fun new adventure, it's scary and it does bum me out a little bit.
Wait, so
like
let's back up. What's your new position? We didn't talk about
that. She's got a new title and everything, but she kind of has been like riding the fence. What was the new title?
I am the media director.
Oh, yeah. That sounds fancy.
So quite official.
Director.
That's why the bitch cut her hair.
Oh, and that's why you've been wearing the professional suits.
Yeah. You see what she was trying
sense.
To do?
Be fitting.
See? And I.
That worked.
So funny. One blazer that I wear all the time.
No.
And
I've never
everyone
seen it.
Tunes in. It's the haircut. I'm telling you. It's the lob.
Yeah, I think it is. So we're just talking about how important it is to appreciate when somebody is ready to evolve and how scary it can be and how hard it is to sort of let them go. And so then I just thought I would invade your first moments of vacation to sort of backtrack on all the good things I was.
Oh, I don't mind. I'm happy to hear that. And you know what? All of those other things plus mine, how nice it is to work with someone and for somebody in a group of people that are supportive of growth. It's awesome.
See?
And, you know, I'm really grateful.
Oh, God.
I couldn't be more grateful right now. Listen, I get this wonderful phone call. I'm in paradise.
She's happy. This needs to stop.
I know.
We can't have this.
You drank on the plane, didn't you?
But do you see?
No, I didn't because I have to drive. I got a rental car, so I thought about it. I almost had a drink, and then I was like, wait, I can't get a DUI in Hawaii.
No.
No,
don't do that.
No drinks. This is just pure. I'm high on life right now.
Wow.
I'm high on life.
You sound good. See, now, if we didn't let her be free, mm-hmm. she would move to that island permanently.
It's true. It's true. You made the right decision, and because of that, you're going to reap more benefits in the long run, even though some things are going to be harder, like finding a new assistant.
Yes.
But this was a very smart move, Jillian Michaels.
You think so?
And I'm very proud of you.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm having a very hard time doing this, so here's what I've done. I've set myself up for the backslaps, so this way I can be like, look what a good guy I am. To try to incentivize myself to stay the course here. Because
mm-hmm.
I really just want to put the shackles back on her.
But maybe you'll get some good karma and you'll get an amazing assistant. Just put it out there.
You
talked about it with such negative energy. Be careful, but maybe there'll be some gem that comes into your life.
I don't think
so. And I think he exists.
There's so many people that would love
rough.
To work
there's
with you
more
that are
than
young
just,
and hungry.
Just one.
And strong. And
okay.
You'll find
and
it.
And they have to vote for me.
But they're working for her.
I know that. Yeah, let's. Yeah, it's not a glamorous job. I know working for you, huh, Jill?
Well, I just no. I'm just saying. It's like you just got to take pride in our work, right, Autumn? We got to be. It's very important to dot the I's and cross the T's, right,
Absolutely.
Buddy? Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, this is a big representation, a huge component of our lives, and we need to take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big. Anyway, whatever. All right, so that's what this is about. Letting people spread their little wings. And they say that if you let the little birdie free and it didn't come back to you, it was never yours in the first place.
Aww.
What's that?
Well, I'm coming back.
See? It's coming back.
Well, congratulations, Autumn.
Congrats.
We're really proud
thank
of you.
Guys.
It's well thank deserved. You. And make sure and you come you. Back.
I will. I'm coming back. I can't afford to stay. I got to.
Okay, good. Good. Don't pay her too much.
I know. That's the key.
All right, honey. All right,
guys.
Enjoy your
I love
trip.
You all.
All right,
thank
buddy.
You.
We
bye.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Nah.
Nah. You did the right thing, bud.
Ugh. You should have heard Giancarlo. I don't understand.
You're so that's not good. I
don't
like.
Gee, I'm like she's gonna be dealing with you more than she's gonna be dealing
me
with me
with
now.
Male executives, don't talk about that.
No, he just is intimidated to have her out of this position too, because he works hand in hand with somebody that's constantly managing my every move and everything that I'm doing. And she, all the approvals for the company run through Autumn. All the scripts for everything runs through Autumn. She is the funnel that goes to me. So every single employee goes to Autumn to me. Everything, every project through Autumn to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's like she's the first face of the partners. And so his obvious concern is, oh my God, because he's lived through all the other shenanigans that I've lived through as well. Mm-hmm. And my second assistant is not actually a second assistant. He's a completely different type of, he's more of a personal assistant.
I've never heard of this second first
oh,
thing.
Oh, girl, Cody. He is my rent-a-husband. You have no idea.
But different position.
Yeah, that's, very that's, different. He is the one that I call when poop water is raining from my son's ceiling, which is, again, a whole nother segment that we didn't get to, but that was, wow.
What was the thing with the bird in the tree or something?
Yes, there was a wild bird in the tree that got stuck there.
Yep.
That was, all of this is Cody. Yeah, Cody.
Okay.
Anything that goes wrong is just, we call Cody. We don't even know.
What a great job.
Oh, girl. I don't know. I would kill myself without Cody. Aww. I can't even. I can't. I bought him a car and a motorcycle.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, over the years.
Yeah, but he deserved
over
it.
Over the years, yeah. But
no,
I
she's that
like,
grateful.
I'm
He's
like,
that
don't
there
leave
for
me.
Her.
You have no idea. I can call him at 10. I called him at 10:30 on Saturday night, and I was like, my something in the wall is banging. He will come out and figure out
of
what.
Of course he will. You brought him a car and a motorcycle. He'll do whatever
you believe me,
want.
He has the money this kid said. Why am I going on this?
Okay.
I can't do that because I don't want him to know how valuable he is and then quit. Yes. And one of you people tries to hire. We got to end this now.
Okay.
This can only go someplace bad from here.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.